you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, till the very end of the age." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, February 3rd, 2023. And we have a room full of friends, our regulars, and a son of our regular. We appreciate everyone that comes out for our discussions. We meet on Wednesday, and that's so we can record the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And the topic last week touched on, and the week before, is making disciples. And this passage out of Matthew is one that Jesus exhorts us all to go into the world, therefore, go into all of our world, wherever we go, and make disciples. Be that example, that witness, that ambassador for God. And joining us, as is typically the case for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, is Pastor Jason Schiffo, who's the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. I enjoy attending there and hearing him preach and divide God's word. He's passionate about it. He loves to read it, to study it, to look over things, and then ask the Spirit to enlighten his message. And each and every Sunday, he faithfully declares that for so many people. And thank you, Jason, for joining us today and addressing this topic. You left us a little bit on a cliffhanger last week because you and I did the program over the phone, and you said you wanted to make sure our studio audience was here to discuss in further discuss making disciples.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the passage that Mark, you just read, which is Matthew 28:18-20. But remember, context is king. That's what we always got to embed in our mind. So whenever we read a passage in the Bible, or we hear a passage in the Bible, or even say you're at church and the pastor preaches a passage of the Bible, you should always open up your Bible, since we all should have Bibles, and then look and say, well, what is around there? What made the person in the Bible declare that? Why did Jesus say that? Why is God saying that? And it is always part of some greater or bigger narrative, something else that God is saying. God is never just saying one thing in a vacuum. There's always something else that's attached to it, and generally that's because of the context. So we always say what? Context is?
King.
King. King. Excellent. Let's try that one more time. Context is?
King. King.
Excellent. There are two things I paid a lot of money for when I went to college to study the Bible. Those two things are context is king, and what's the therefore, therefore? So whenever you see the word therefore, you've always got to look backwards and say, why is the therefore there? It's always because it talks about what came before it. Those two things alone cost about $60,000. Oh, I just offered them all to you for free.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
Hey, Jason, one, I won't say correction, but you said open your Bible because everyone should have their Bibles. Nowadays, I think you almost have to say turn on your Bible or light up your Bible or your press whatever to access your Bible because everyone has them on their phones. I mean, I'm still the old-fashioned way. I like to open it up and have it in my hands.
Although when you opened your Bible up and we all sat down, you kept saying, every time I open this up, it goes right to Hebrews.
Yeah, that's right.
And I thought, you go right to Hebrews, not it goes right to Hebrews.
That's right. Yeah, that's because of Dr. Webb, which I should do a little shout out on Monday and Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends. We'll continue our discussion on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And that'll continue what we started earlier this week on Monday and Tuesday, as he wants to cover those imperatives if we want to be faithful disciples. And it was interesting, Jason, because he was all about making disciples that'll make disciples. And that seems to be an emphasis of a number of people now, is we don't want to just be followers of Jesus. I mean, we want to be followers of Jesus and faithful followers of Jesus, God's ambassador, but we want to make disciples. And he exhorts us to do that very thing.
Well, just think about this. We have done for quite some time the come and see. We said come to church. If we can just get people come to church, then everything's going to be different. The world is going to be a different place. And the thing is that message has not held up, has it? Church attendance has dwindled. The world has not gotten better. It's gotten worse. And the reason, I think, is because the command in the Bible is to come and see, but the command to go and tell is always much more emphatic. It's always the crux of what the message of the Bible is. In fact, even early in the book of John, as the disciples of John are finding out about Jesus, they're saying, come and see, come and see, come and see the place where he stays. But almost immediately, a little bit later in the book of John, Jesus begins to say, no, now you go. It says that he sent him out two by two. You know, the imperative to go is always stronger than the imperative to come and see. And why? Because we go more than we come, don't we? We're going all throughout our day, all the different places that we go. And the Bible is very wise to say that we need to stay in the place where we have been called, meaning the places that we've been called, the places that we go to often, that we inhabit. And the reason for that is because who has influence in the places that you go often?
Mm-hmm.
You.
Yeah.
I don't have influence there. It's really interesting. You know, we always want to ascribe authority to people who don't have the authority in any of those places. It's actually you who has that. There are so many places that all of you sitting here get to go that I never get to go to. I mean, just share. Where are some of the places you go routinely throughout your week?
Tad's Garage.
Tad's Garage.
And I have to go to the auto parts stores.
Okay, the auto parts store. Yeah, that's great. I don't go to the auto parts store because I don't understand that.
That's why you call me.
That's why I call you. That's right. Anybody else? Where are some places that you go throughout the week?
Circle K.
Circle K. Excellent.
Aldi's.
Aldi, okay.
At the grocery shop.
I know some other disciples of Jesus who go there. My wife. Anybody else?
Well, I go to the grocery store, but I also go to BSF. I'm a leader there.
Okay.
And I'm making disciples.
Excellent. Anybody else? Some places that you go?
I would say BSF.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw you there, Frank.
I was there. Look, Elmer's keeping track of me.
You go to Gibson City.
Yeah. I mean, all the places that you go, you have the opportunity to make a disciple. Now, what do you think a disciple is? Let's get some definition down for what is a disciple. Because there's all this talk about making disciples. But the question has to be, what are you going to make then? You have to define what it is you're going to make. If I say I'm going to make a pie, that could mean I'm going to make anything. I could make a chocolate pie, a cherry pie, an apple pie, a strawberry pie. I can make all kinds of pies. And you might not like half of those kinds of pies. So it would be important for you to know what kind of pie I'm making, right? And so if we're going to make disciples, we better understand what it means to make disciples. So what is a disciple?
He's a follower of Jesus.
Okay, it's a follower of Jesus.
That would be a Christian disciple. And that's the kind of what we're after, to tell everybody else. We want to share the word of the Lord and get the person that we're talking to enthusiastic to where he wants to share it.
Okay. Anybody else? What is a disciple?
Representing Jesus or being Jesus to others.
Okay, representing Jesus, being Jesus to others. Anybody else?
I was just thinking, the idea popped into my head, Cubs fan.
Say that again. Maybe I should share quickly. I'm a Cardinals fan.
I'm not biased. I'm not either one.
And then the church split.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking, like that little thing Mark plays on the radio every once in a while about the guys teaching their kids to like their favorite sports team. I'm like, that's basically discipling. You teach them. You talk about it all the time. It's like the most important thing in your life, and that's the way we should treat being a Christian.
So wait. So you're talking about making disciples and making Cubs fans, right?
No.
I mean, the Pharisees spoke about making twice the sons of hell.
No, I knew I shouldn't have brought that up.
I'm kidding with you.
No,
I am only a Cardinals fan because I like the stadium and it's easy to get to. which it's not if you're a Chicago fan, because it is very difficult to go to, because I just want to go to the baseball game. That's like a rabbit trail right there, Mark. Okay, so it's important to talk about what a disciple is, because Jesus calls us to make disciples. And so I heard a lot of different things, and none of them were wrong, but all of them kind of fell just a little short if we really look at the passage that Jesus says here. Now, what's interesting is context is king. And what we do is, when we come to disciple-making passage, we start with Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. But I actually think to understand properly the context of that passage, you have to start in the verse before. Does anybody remember what the verse before it starts with or it ends with? It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Some of them doubted. Now, why is that important to what it means to make disciples? I want you to listen to the passage in Matthew chapter 28, because I think that there's something happening there that we kind of miss because we front load in that Jesus wants us to make disciples, and disciples are Christian disciples. I'm not arguing that that's not true, but we act as though maybe disciples is something that has already happened. Jesus says, therefore, go. By the way, that means as you go, wherever you go, and how you go. That doesn't mean world missions. Sometimes we like to take this verse. In fact, if I Googled world missions, I would see this verse being used all over the place. Go, therefore go, go overseas. No. Therefore, as you go to the grocery store, as you go to Gibson City, as you go to BSF, as you go to the garage and the auto parts store, as you go all the places that you uniquely get to go, make disciples of all nations. That means all nations means what?
Pretty much everybody.
Yeah, everybody who is not you. And that means everybody from all the different nations and all the different places, all the different kinds of people that you're going to come across along the way. So therefore, as you go to all the places that you uniquely get to go, make disciples of all the people who are not you. And then what does it say?
Baptizing them.
Yeah, baptizing them. Now, wait a second. What does it mean in the world of Jesus when he says baptizing them? What was baptizing connected to?
Full immersion.
Well, Jesus was a big fan of immersion. Yep. What is it connected to?
Baptizing is when you confess your faith in the Lord.
Right. Baptizing is believing. It's uniquely connected. But in the world of Jesus, when you believed, you're immediately baptized. Remember in the book of Acts, Philip and the eunuch, immediately after the eunuch believes, what does he say?
Is there any reason I can't be baptized?
Yeah. Where's the water? He says, where's the water? I need to get baptized. You know, in the book of Acts, when people believe, immediately they start getting into fountains and they start getting baptized. And so baptizing in this passage means believing. But that's fascinating because prior to the believing, you're making disciples of all nations.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. So wait a second. Does that mean that as you're making disciples, they're not yet believing?
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The proper definition for a disciple is this: a believing learner and a learning believer. A believing learner and a learning believer. So what is a learning believer? A learning believer is somebody who's learning about what it means to believe. Somebody who's watching, somebody who has a life of believing in Jesus, a life of faith, and they're learning what that life of faith looks like. An unbeliever has to learn what it means to believe, don't they? And how do they learn that?
By watching.
By watching you as you go. As you go. So what Jesus is saying here is as you go to all the places that you uniquely get to go, and as you bring this life of believing into the nations for the nations to see, you're teaching them about what it means to believe. And because you're teaching them what it means to believe, some of them will believe and they get to become what?
Disciples.
Yeah.
Also.
So remember, what is the definition of disciples? Two things. They are learning believers, believing learners. So this verse right here is actually divided into two parts. The first part of this verse is people who are learning what it means to believe, then are baptized. That's the point of belief. And then out of that, they're believers who are now learning. Because believers should constantly be learning. That's the process of sanctification. That's the process of us learning what it means to understand and to live this life that we have, this transformed life in Christ. And so this passage here is actually telling us two things. It's telling us about how important our life is in Christ to those who don't know Christ, and how important our life is in Christ to those who now know Christ. Because after the baptism, then what happens? They're baptized what? In the name of?
The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yep. So active in that belief is not some of the power of the Trinity, but the full power of the Trinity. So we believe in the Father, we believe in His Son Jesus, and we understand all of this by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, by the way, in John chapter 15, told us what? When the Spirit comes, he will remind you of all the things that I have said. So the Spirit's job, he is the humble arm of the Trinity, which leads us back to be reminded to remember all the things that Jesus said and did, to be reminded of who Jesus is. You ever, you're doing something and all of a sudden a piece of God's word comes to mind that fits that situation you're in? Have you ever had that happen?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you of what Jesus said and did. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. He's the Word manifested in flesh. So Jesus is the living Word that is inside of you. And the Holy Spirit calls that out and forward in those situations. And so we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then what do we begin to do with believing learners? Teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. Now that's pretty daunting, right? I mean, how many of you think, well, that's pretty crazy? When people tell me that that's not hard, that's not difficult, then I say to them, you're not doing it. Because people are messy, people are difficult. You know, you start actually walking alongside people, you start doing life with people, you start trying to teach them to obey. Listen, my kids are easier than adults. You know, because at least if you say to your kids, clean your room, they have to. You say to an adult, clean your room, and he goes, I don't have to do that. I can live however I want. Here's the point. The point is that I think that we've read this verse in a very shallow way. Yes. To not understand that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to us for what? So that we can begin to live a life that looks different to an unbelieving world. And through our lives, we begin to have the opportunity to teach them what believing looks like. What walking by faith and not by sight looks like, what it looks like to trust in God, what it looks like to declare that God created all things and therefore all things have value, that we are wonderfully and beautifully made and therefore we care for one another in a different way. We get to live that life. And because we live that life in that way, there are some people who are going to be like, I cannot believe that this life existed and I didn't know about it. Tell me more. There are people outside the doors of wherever you're at who are waiting to be like the jailer who wants to rush in and tell me, how do I have this thing that you have? Mm-hmm. And you say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and?
Your household.
You know why it says you and your household? Because where's the first place the jailer was going to go back and begin to live his faith out?
At home.
Yeah, he was going to go back home and begin to show his family what a believing life looked like. By the way, where's the hardest place to live a believing life?
Home.
At home.
At home. At home, yeah, at home, where people know they don't obey, things are all... And because at home, those people that you live with, they tend to be pretty forgiving. And so you tend to think, well, I have a little more free reign at home than I do, you know. I had one couple, and I was doing some marital counseling with them, and the husband was talking, and the wife said, why don't you talk like you do at home here? And I said, what exactly is it that you say at home? And he said, I don't want to talk about it. And she says, till we get at home. Then you'll talk. And the point was this, is that for some reason we act different in our driveway than we do outside of our driveway. And Jesus, one of the craziest things about Jesus is Jesus says, stop living that kind of life. He told the Pharisees, he said, listen, the outside of the cup looks so clean and nice, but the inside of the cup is messy. And one of the most amazing moments in the Bible is in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount, and it said, and the people were amazed because he spoke to them not like their scribes and their teachers. Why? Because what Jesus thought, what Jesus said, and what Jesus did matched. All of it matched. The way Jesus lived his life matched the words that he declared. And for many of us, I don't think we want to make disciples as we go, because it'll be very difficult, because our words will betray us. Mm-hmm. We'll preach a gospel, but then we'll live a whole different way.
Words or actions. What were the three things? I know it came out of like the Awana program too. Yeah.
Anything you think, say, or do.
Yeah, and that's where people, when they look at us, might say there's contradiction here.
Yeah, and so I think that as we go into all the places we get to go, The first time, Tad, that anybody's going to get an opportunity to hear a message about Jesus, to read the Bible, even to go to church, might be when you walk in the auto parts store. And so therefore, you have an opportunity to take that place, which the world thinks is used to sell auto parts, to become a place where Jesus' message of grace is declared.
No pressure, Tad, but somebody's eternity rests on your witness. So, you know.
Well, I mean, really, though, I mean, wouldn't that just be like Jesus who would say, you know what, that guy thought he was going to buy a carburetor. I got different plans. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's for all of us, every single place that we go. And some people would say, yeah, but Sharon Fernald and Elmer Zuhl said they go to BSF, that's Bible Study Fellowship. Listen, there are people who go to Bible study who don't know who the Lord is. There are people who preach in pulpits who aren't sure who the Lord is. We can't assume that everybody knows who the Lord is. Therefore, we have to constantly and consistently live to the best, and I wouldn't even say to the best of our ability, but leaning on the ability of the Holy Spirit to be able to live that believing life in the midst of an unbelieving world so that we can change the lives. Listen, I say this to people all the time. Transformed lives transform lives.
Amen.
And if your life has been transformed by Christ, you have the opportunity to transform the lives of all the people you come in contact with. And if it seems hard, if it seems overwhelming, that's why Jesus closes these verses by saying, "And surely I'll be with you until the end of the age." And you can put in parentheses, "and every day."
You know, I think that's important. But you brought that up, and I can't think of all the times I have read that passage in my life, and I always thought that it meant you're supposed to go out and be a missionary. But when it says, "All authority has been given to me," he's basically saying, I'm giving you the power to go out now and live like you've been redeemed, because that's the most important part to doing discipling. Because if you go out and you're not living it, you're not going to make any disciples. They're going to look at you and go, you're just a hypocrite, and they're going to ignore it. In fact, you're going to make them even harder to reach for the next guy. But if you are truly converted and you are taking a hold of that power that Jesus makes available, you can live your everyday life in a manner that will be a witness.
Yeah.
Believing learners, learning believers, which are you? May you be empowered by the Holy Spirit today to be that faithful follower of Jesus, that disciple, that ambassador for God. He wants to empower you as you ask Jesus into your heart, as you recognize your need for the Savior. The Holy Spirit resides in you, and you can be empowered to make a difference for all eternity. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo and some wonderful friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.